Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Now, talking about inflation or lack thereof, we want to have a chat this morning about something that has been worrying a lot of people, certainly in the Dublin area, and that's what's happening in office property, where the vacancy rate is currently heading up towards 15.2%. There is a little bit more take-up of properties in Dublin office land, but the situation still remains a bit flat, to put it mildly. So joining me now to discuss what all this means is John McCartney. He's the Director of Research at BNP Paribas Real Estate. Good morning to you, John.
Morning, Emmett.
John, this is a sort of a mixed bag. On one side, there is a greater, this is covering a certain time period you've been looking at, but it means that there's a bigger demand, so there's lots more people taking on properties. That's good. But bad is the fact that vacancy rates are heading over 15% and likely to go higher. Can you just pick out the two sort of almost colliding trends there?
Yeah, sure, Emmett. It does seem paradoxical, but in a sense, it's quite simple. The Dublin office market has been facing three challenges, really, in recent times. On the demand side, the tech firms, which were the biggest takers of space between 2017 and 2021, have taken a bit more of a back seat, really, since the global tech shock in August of 2022. So, to put the numbers on that, they accounted for 53% of all take-up in that 2017 to 2021 period. Last year, that went down to 21%, and it's still hovering in the, you know, around 28% in the first half of this year. So the tech pullback is one challenge. The second challenge is remote working, which is obviously creating a headwind for office demand. And then on the supply side, we just have a huge glut of new office buildings coming to completion this year and next year. So when you put them all together, it has been a tough time for the market. But the good news is that the demand side, at least, has picked up quite strongly in the second quarter of the year.
Now, looking at this vacancy rate, two questions make me curious. One is, how does that compare with other cities around Europe and elsewhere? So how bad is it? And secondly, who's holding these buildings that are vacant? Like, is it a particular type of building? Is it older stock? Like, who's sort of feeling the most hurt?
Yeah, OK. So I suppose, Emma, what has happened in Q2, really, is that demand, as I say, has picked up quite strongly. So we had 86,000 square metres of take-up. That's five times more than we had in Q1. And it's about 119% higher than Q2 2023. So the demand has picked up, but the problem is that the supply has picked up even faster, and that's why the vacancy is rising. It's currently about 15.2% of all the stock. And really, to answer your question about the types of buildings that are vacant, there's really two types. There are, on one hand, older buildings that just the market doesn't want as much, because many firms have become very cognizant of their ESG commitments, and they're looking for green, sustainable, low carbon buildings. So these older ones are the ones that tend to get left on the shelf. And then there are new buildings, brand new buildings that were speculatively developed. They do meet all of the ESG criteria, but just by virtue of the fact that they're just recently built and that they've been speculatively developed, they overhang the market for a period of time when their owners try and seek tenants for them. And that just takes time.
Yeah. Now, the other issue was the vacancy rate. You're expecting it to go to about 17% by the end of next year, next calendar year. Obviously, we've seen even higher figures in places like San Francisco, you know, really just kind of jaw-dropping vacancy rates. But you are saying that you feel, or there is data there to suggest, that people are not working from home as much. And even those who are working from home come in a bit more and attend meetings a bit more. So have we kind of reached the high water mark for working from home, and from here on in? And I know it's a big question that neither me nor you can really speculate on, but are you getting a sense from the data that that's a trend that's going to persist?
Well, we do have data on it, Emmett. You know, the industry probably hasn't done itself any favours by speculating too much on remote working, and of course, you know, concluding that it was a passing phase and all of that with no real evidence to support it. But what I can tell you is that the Labour Force Survey asks two questions every quarter on remote working. The first question it asks is, did you use remote working at all in the last 4 weeks? And prior to COVID, a steady 15% of employees were working remotely. That spiked up to about 44% at the beginning of 2021. And then once the pandemic health restrictions were lifted, it immediately dropped to about 34%. But it has been steady at that 34% for the last 18 months. So it does appear that we have reached a new normal in terms of the proportion of employees that are working remotely. But I think the more interesting aspect is what is happening with the second question. So the follow-up question is, for those employees that indicate they are working remotely, the CSO asks, okay, are you spending more than half your working time remotely or less than half of your working time remotely? And today, 58% of those that are working remotely are spending more than half of their working week at home. However, that is continuously dropping. It's dropped in 10 of the last 12 quarters. If we go back a year ago, that 58% was 61%. And if we go back 2 years ago, it was 74%. So I suppose in summary,
it's softening a bit. Yeah,
they're telling us that, look, the proportion of people working remotely has steadied, but those that are doing so are in the office a bit more frequently.
Now, we all remember, because it's not that long ago, the giant property crash of 09, 010, etc. This is very different in complexion. Obviously, it's got a big vacancy rate, but the owners of the vacant properties and those who are overhanging the market, you call it a tenants market, I think, in your press release this morning. Who are they? Like, in other words, is it institutional money? Is it Irish banks? Who is holding these buildings that are lying empty? Do you have any insight into who the investors are? Who are the ultimate people who are suffering the financial loss or write-downs potentially that may be coming? Can you give us any insight into who they are? Because it's a very unclear picture.
Yeah, well, we know who they are, Emmett. So some of them are institutions, as you say, pension funds and insurance companies and the like that hold these properties as investments to generate income to pay, let's say, insurance claims and pensions. Some of them are the developers that have speculatively built these offices, and what their intention was to do was to build the office to get the offices leased up, to get tenants into them and then to sell them on to those institutions. But in some cases, that hasn't happened yet because the offices, once they've been completed, have been slow to let. And then there are a whole range of other types of buyers, private equity companies, and to some extent, high net worth individuals and family offices and so forth.
All right. Listen, you've given us a good picture of who they are. It's something we need to know, I suppose, because we're looking at, does it have a wider sort of a footprint for the rest of us? John McCartney is the Director of Research at BNP Paribas Real Estate, giving us an update on demand in the office market and the vacancy rate.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.